Welcome to installment 124 of Sefer HaMitzvahs in the Rambam. Today's portion again contains four agricultural commandments. Two of them relate to the law of Peret, collecting individual grapes which have fallen at the time of harvest, positive commandment 124, to leave them for the poor people, and prohibition number 213, not to completely consume them or to take them for oneself. There are also two commandments relating to the law of Shikha, sheaves of grain which have been forgotten in the field. Positive commandment 122 is to leave them there in the field for other people to take. And prohibition number 214 is the prohibition not to take these forgotten sheaves for oneself. Two of the commandments relate to the law of Peret, which is closely related to the law of Eilalais, as we discussed yesterday. Eilalais, you might recall, is the prohibition to take the undeveloped or immature clusters of grape from the vineyard. If one sees an undeveloped cluster on the vine, one must leave it for the poor. Peret is a step further, that after the grapes have already been harvested, occasionally individual grapes fall on the ground. If one or two of these grapes fall on the ground, these individual grapes are called peret, and they must not be harvested later by the farmer. He cannot pick them up off the ground. If one or two fall, they must be left for the poor person. If three of them fell simultaneously, however, then they can be harvested by the farmer. Both the positive commandment and the prohibition derive from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 10. The verse states, "Uferet bekarmacha leisalaket," do not harvest the individual fallen grapes in your vineyard. Leave them, rather, for the poor and for the stranger. In this one verse, we see both the prohibition not to harvest the peret and the positive commandment to leave them there for the poor person. Therefore, one can fulfill both commandments, the positive and the negative, by following this law, and one can transgress both the prohibition and nullify the positive commandment by taking the peret when one shouldn't. The Rambam writes that the commandment of peret is learned from the tractate Peah, and as all of the other agricultural commandments dealing with gifts to the poor, it is of biblical origin only in the land of Israel. It is valid rabbinically even outside the land of Israel. In addition, it is a lav shenitek lase, it is a prohibition which has a corresponding positive commandment, which can remedy the prohibition. We'll discuss this in the law of Shikha. The law of Peret, similar to the law of Eilalais, is only applies to grapes, and not to any other type of vine or tree. The final two commandments of today's portion deal with the law of Shikha. Shikha is grain which has been forgotten in the field. The farmer, after pulling the grain out of the ground, normally ties it up in sheaves and leaves these sheaves piled up until he collects them all at once. If he should collect these sheaves and leave one or two of them lying in the field, this is called shikha. It has been forgotten. And since it has been forgotten, it must be left for the poor, and he is forbidden to go back and bring these sheaves together with the rest of his harvest. There are two commandments connected with this law. Prohibition 214 is the prohibition not to take the shikha, and positive commandment 122 is to leave the shikha for the poor. They both derive from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verse 19. The verse states, "When you reap your grain harvest and forget a sheaf in the field, you must not go back to get it." This is the prohibition, not to go back and get the shikha. It must be left for the foreigner, orphan, and widow. And this is the positive commandment, that it should be left for these unfortunate people to live and get their livelihood and their food from this which he has forgotten. In this prohibition 214 dealing with shikha, the forgotten grain, the Rambam has a lengthy explanation about the concept of a lav shenitek le'ese, or a prohibition which has a remedial positive commandment associated with it. The law is that as long as it is possible to fulfill the positive commandment, even though one has violated the prohibition, he does not get lashes until it is completely impossible to fulfill the positive commandment. For example, in the law of Peah, one must not completely harvest the field, one must leave a corner, an end of the field for the poor people. If one has completely harvested the field, he has violated the prohibition. But nevertheless, he does not get lashes because he can still remedy the situation by fulfilling the positive commandment of giving part of that crop, part of the harvest, to the poor person. Even though it cannot be literally from the end of the field, since he has harvested it already, nevertheless, he can give some of his grain, an amount comparable to the amount he would be required to leave in the field itself. Therefore, he would not get lashes. Even if the grain has already been threshed and crushed and even kneaded into dough, nevertheless, a portion of the dough could be given to the poor person, and therefore he would still fulfill the positive commandment of leaving a corner of the field and thereby escape lashes. Only after the grain has been lost or burned, and certainly if he himself has taken away the possibility of remedying the situation, that he has eaten all of the grain, only then that he can no longer fulfill the positive commandment would he get lashes. This is because the lav shenitak le'esen. The Rambam then quotes the Gemara in Makkos, which discusses this category of commandments. And the Gemara says that as a practical matter, there is hardly any commandment which one would have the possibility of no longer being able to remedy the situation. Most mitzvahs, if there's a prohibition and a remedial positive commandment, one could always remedy the situation until the day he dies. However, the Talmud in Makkos says, that we have only this commandment, which is the commandment of taking the mother with the chicks, and Eida Cheres, and one more. And this one more is the commandment of Peah. That since one has violated the commandment of Peah by completely harvesting the field, he has a remedial situation that he can still give part of it to the poor. However, it's still possible that he will not be able to do it and could get lashes, as we have mentioned. However, the Rambam says, do not make a mistake and think Eida Cheres means only the one commandment of Peah. The other four agricultural commandments dealing with gifts to the poor also are the same as Peah in this regard. Leket, the individual stalks, and Shikha, the forgotten sheaves, and Peret and Eilulais, the grapes which must be left to the poor. All of these four commandments, or the four positive and the four negative counterparts, all of them meet the criteria that the Talmud gives for the law of Peah, that it's possible to nullify the commandment with an act which makes it impossible to fulfill the positive commandment. If one eats the peret and eilulais, or one takes for himself the leket and shikha, it is no longer possible to fulfill the positive commandment, and then one would get lashes, just as would be in the case of Peah. The Rambam points out that the verses from which we learn these agricultural laws use a similar expression for all of them together, that the commandments are lumped together, and the positive commandment is said by all of them, taz of esam, that they must be left. And a similar expression by Shikha, that la yosam, la gerv la yosam la mana yiyya, that they should be left for the stranger, for the orphan, and for the widow, they must be left. And therefore, they all use a similar expression, and all are in the same category of lav shenitak le'esen. The Medrash tells the story of a certain farmer who discovered that he had left a sheaf of grain in the field. He therefore discovered that he became obligated in the commandment of Shikha, that since it was forgotten, he was required to leave it for the poor. He had immediately became very excited and asked his son to bring him two oxen to bring for the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple in Jerusalem. He also said that now that I have the opportunity to do this mitzvah, I want to make a huge banquet, a tremendous feast, in honor of this mitzvah. His son asked him, you do many mitzvahs. Why are you so excited about this mitzvah? The farmer answered his son that this is not an ordinary mitzvah. This is a mitzvah which I get the credit for without even having planned to do. That Hashem, God, has brought it to my hands unwittingly, that I would not willingly forget grain in the field. But nevertheless, I see that God wanted to merit me by giving me the opportunity to do this mitzvah, and therefore this is a cause for great joy. In a similar vein, the Chinuch points out that all of these commandments are as a result of God's desire to have us live a joyful life. That when a person keeps all of his money and all of his grain, all of his food for himself, and does not share it with other people, this is a sign of his unhappiness. That when can a person truly be happy and joyful is only when he shares with others. This represents a deep psychological insight, that this is a need among people, that they must share with others, and we will be unable to have true joy unless we share part of our wealth with others. In addition, the Al-Sheikh points out that these commandments are structured in such a way to preserve the self-respect of the poor person. Instead of taking the gift and delivering it to him, and making it feel that you are giving him something of your own, and doing a merciful act with him, the Torah instead structured in such a way that these things belong to begin with to the poor person, and they are left in a specific place where he knows where to come, such as in the case of Peah, on the end of the field, and therefore can maintain his self-respect. He knows where to come, and he knows that this grain belongs specifically to him. In fact, as the very phrase, matnas anim, gifts to the poor, indicates that these are gifts. A person is giving them not even from his own property, that these are things which are owned from Hashem. God owns all of the person's food, and God owns his field. And therefore, God is the one that has chosen that these should be given to the poor. These are gifts from God himself. And therefore, the person himself is only fulfilling the will of God as his representative or as his messenger. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvot. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.